And we're going live on YouTube.
Hello, friends. Welcome to church tonight. I'm so glad you joined us. All our friends and family out there, I'm glad you joined us here at the Heritage World Outreach Center for the Church of the Living God, Pillar of the Truth. Anyways, That's all I got. Guys, I want to say thank you for joining us tonight. We are glad to have you with us. And this is definitely different. And we all question, okay, this feels weird. Are we doing the right thing? We're doing what we can to comply with the law and at the same time still gather, at least virtually. I have told you all for years that this is not how God intended church to be. And it's not. And it won't be forever. It's temporary. But we're glad you're here for a midweek Bible study. I thought it would be a great thing to do to start off with a song. I understand you may not be able to follow along at home. If you want to look at the lyrics, of course, you can always Google it or look it up on Hymnary, hymnary.org, hymnary.org, or again, just Google it. But the song is, It Will Be Worth It All When We See Christ. When We See Christ is technically the title, but most of you probably know it with that It'll Be Worth It All. So, Ariana, would you start us off? sure some of you are thinking, man, it's got to be soon. I know this month it's sooner today than it was yesterday. I'm going to open up with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to go ahead and give you just a couple of things to consider in regards to announcements. Obviously, our schedule is completely upside down. And we had a plan for Easter. Not sure how that's going to turn out. My prayer is this, guys, and I'm going to ask you guys to pray for the same thing, that the way that everything shakes out is that things in our community begin to settle down, and it would be a real blessing. Now, the Lord may not desire this, and we need to be open to that, but it would be a real blessing for us to be able to celebrate Easter Sunday as our first Sunday back together as a church. So would you pray about that, please? In the meantime, I'm going to ask our media ministry expert and deacon, Brother James, if you would open us up in the word of prayer. Brother.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we ask that you just be with us tonight, be with all those viewers online, be with the laptop, be with the camera, be with it all, Lord. Help the streaming go as smooth as possible. Be with our pastor, Lord. Give him just the power to preach. I know it's not behind his pulpit in our church building, but Lord, you can still give him the power and the voice that he needs tonight to preach right here from his living room. Please be with us, Lord, and bless the evening in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. As far as announcements go, for most of you, I think most of you have gotten the text from Brother Jose and Ms. Dinia. The teen event has been, I don't want to say canceled, I'm going to say rescheduled, right, for April. We'll be doing something as a youth group in the month of April, probably towards the end of the month. So young people, be mindful of that. And I'm just going to go ahead and reiterate one thing to the parents. Parents, a lot of the reasons for which it is sometimes harder for our kids to have time for the things of God, some of those excuses, I would say, have been taken away. And now is a great time to get all of us, young and old alike, but especially our young people, to get into that book and memorizing Scripture. And what my prayer is that some of the young people stay in touch with one another and with Brother Jose and Ms. Dina, and maybe they accept some challenges from each other for memorizing some Scripture. I saw something online about a Until Tomorrow challenge. If you participate in that, that's fine. But I would say until we meet again, I'll give you that challenge, right? To get in that book and let that book get inside of you. Also, we had planned for some Easter flyer handouts this coming weekend. Obviously, that is also out. If you happen to be out in your neighborhood doing a hike or a stroll on your own and you happen to, let some Easter flyers fall on someone's door, that's between you and the Lord, okay? But as far as the church is concerned, we're not going to be doing that as we originally planned. For those who don't know, a lot of announcements came out between in the last, I'd say, 24, 48 hours, including today, or yesterday, Tri-Counties area, and then today, again, our governor declaring things being how they are as a statewide lockdown until April 11th. Now, if anything I can tell you, you ought to be relieved at least some of you didn't handle taxes. Your deadline is now July 15th instead of April 15th, all right? But outside of that, a lot of life is being rescheduled. And as a church, we're not canceling church. We're not stopping what we're doing. You know what we're doing? We are rescheduling things for the future. For those that may remember, I've talked about this for years. Years ago, we started our church. It's got a sense of humor. We started our church in our living room in 2010. And I remember telling you guys this story over and over about every time we got the Bible out and everyone was sitting down, the cat would come in right then. So you know what just happened right now? The cat just came in. And the cat has delicately been removed. All right? If I had my way, removal would be... But anyways, we're not going to go down that road. We are going to be in Psalms tonight. I do want to also mention some prayer requests. We have some folks that have had some sickness. We had one person that we know that tested positive for this. We know someone else that other folks are just sick. We've got other folks that have broken legs and just all kinds of things. Traumatic type things with health. So be mindful to pray one for another, all right? And I know that our ladies are banding together to take meals. If you got an email or text about that, ladies, if you can't help with that, I do want to mention this just so everybody's on the same page. As of right now, as of whatever time it is, Wednesday night, March 25th. It is not a problem. It is within the compliance of the law as of right now to take meals to people that need meals, right? So we are not asking you to do anything that is against the law at this time. But if you, any of you ladies can help with that, that would be a real blessing. We've got two families in particular that can really use that. So I'll tell you what, guys, this is the opportunity. This is the time to prove that we believe what we say we believe. Amen. About the church. And so I believe we've always said we're a church family. I usually get a lot of amens right there. If there's a way for you to thumb up or amen or do whatever you want to right now, amen, right? But that said, this is the time to actually prove it, all right? You know where I stand on the fact you are not saved by your works. You are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible does say, however, faith without works is dead. And so you ought to prove it. You ought to prove that we are the church family that we say that we are. I know you will. I appreciate all of you. Open your Bibles tonight to Psalms chapter number 20. Psalms chapter number 20. And as you can see tonight, my elaborate PowerPoint right here. All right? Not only are we going whiteboard, old school, but like itty-bitty whiteboard. All right? So you say, what happens, man? Necessity is the mother of invention. And so I looked around and I asked my wife, I said, hey, can I borrow the whiteboard? I forgot that it's like whiteboard, like this, right? Not the whiteboard at church. So I think we ordered another whiteboard. And so hopefully soon, if this goes on for any amount of weeks, we'll have the regular size whiteboard here in a little bit. Psalm chapter 20, there are 9 verses, and the chapter has to do with trouble, and it has to do with tribulation. And I'll just say this, for those that are familiar with numerology in the Bible, the number 9 is associated with fruitfulness. So there are 9 verses in chapter number 20 of Psalms, and the chapter has to do with trouble, and there's 9 verses in there. Great reminder of fruitfulness and bearing fruit for Christ. The Bible says that without me, you can do nothing. And the Bible says in John chapter 15, we are to bear fruit and more fruit and much fruit. All right? Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. 5 plus 2. I'm going to get some math here. Are you ready, Preston? Can you handle this? 5 plus 2 is how much? No? 7? Is that what I heard? 7? And then 2 more? 7 plus 2 is what?
9.
Homeschooling works! Hallelujah. All right? So 9 is the number of fruitfulness. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So I want to show you just by starting off that God lays things out. Tonight you may be struggling with some trouble. You might be frustrated with the general trouble that we're dealing with right now. You might be frustrated with the general, and I use the word tribulation in a general sense. We are not in the Great Tribulation, okay? But in the general sense of the word, we're going to talk about that. We are experiencing some tribulation. And I want to be sensitive, and I want to be ministering to you tonight. But I also want to say this, guys: bombs are not falling from the sky. We are not starving. Amen. All right, we have shelter. We've got food and clothing, and the Bible says, "With food and raiment therewith, to be content." We ought to be thankful that we at least have what we have. You have at least the ability today. Listen, when the Black Plague or the Spanish Flu 100 years ago was going around, we didn't have the technology that we have now to be at least connected in this format. So let's thank God for what we have. That said, there's trouble going on. There are a number of situations in our church that have nothing to do with the coronavirus that are very troubling. This last week, I've learned of 2 people, dear people that I love, who've gone on home to be with the Lord. One service is happening towards the end of this week. A young man that we knew in our church that we love. And what I'm getting at is this. There's a lot of trouble going on right now. There is almost a sense of pressure that I don't know how even to explain outside of maybe a spiritual attack. And there is a pressure. Some of you are feeling this pressure right now. And it's even hard to explain. Listen, having acknowledged that we have been blessed with the things that we have, I think we can all acknowledge at the same time, there is an unseen and sort of hard to describe pressure, all right, not just on the world, but on God's people right now. And so having said that, look at Psalm chapter 20, and let's read starting in verse 1. The Lord heareth thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend me. Send thee help from the sanctuary. You know where your help's going to come from? From God. All right? And strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. You know what he says, setting up our banners? That is basically his way of saying, we want everyone to know whose side we're on. Look, you may be physically detached from a lot of people, and you're going to be tempted to post a lot more things online. How about you plant your banners in the ground and put some scripture out there and let everybody know whose side you're on? Right? The Bible says here, we will rejoice in thy salvation. The name of our God, we will set up our banners. Verse 6, now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. That right hand, the Bible, is a position of power. That's where Jesus went to sit, at the right hand of God the Father. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. You might say it this way. Some trust in their jobs and some in money. Some trust in their 401k and some in their family. You might put a number of things in there, all right? But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down. They are brought down and fallen. But we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. Now, I'm going to explain what is going on here from a practical standpoint as well as a doctrinal standpoint. I'm not sure how well you can see any of this. I wanted to have it up here just as a little bit of a visual aid, all right? And I'll just say this much. In this chapter, as is the case with a lot of the Book of Psalms, there is practical application, and there's also doctrinal and prophetic application, all right? And so what we're reading here is about David going through some trouble. He is speaking of the day of trouble and how God would listen. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. And you might be experiencing some trouble right now. You know what you want to know? That God listens, and that God hears, and that God cares. I'll say it this way. Some trouble comes in your life because of your own fault. Amen. 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 I can tell you this much, though. The book of the Bible, one of the oldest books in the Bible, you know what the theme of that book is? Why do the righteous suffer? And you know, within that book, the book of Job, the Bible says in Job chapter 5 that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. You don't go three chapters in the Bible without man finding trouble. All right? And what you find out is that most of our trouble is due to our own fault. All right? A lot of the trouble we face in our life. However, some trouble is simply the fact that you find yourself in a situation that you did not ordain, that you did not cause, and you are just part of. I preached on this last, maybe it was last Sunday, I can't remember anymore, about Paul being in that ship, and Paul being in the ship there in Acts chapter number 27, or 26 there, and Paul didn't do anything wrong. Paul was on a ship, from Alexandria. He did not ask for that ship. He did not ask them to go the way that they went. He didn't ask for the storm, but he found himself there. You're going to find yourself in some trouble. I would say some of the trouble we're experiencing right now has nothing to do with your sin. A lot of the trouble you're facing right now is just life. Man is born in trouble as the sparks fly upward. Now, let me just point out some things. In verse number 1, you need to know that God is listening. In verse number 2, you need to know where you can go for help. In verse number 3, you need to know that God remembers. In verse number 5, you need to remember the God of your salvation. In verse number 6, you need to know that God saves. In verse number 7, you need to make sure you're putting your trust in the right place. And I would say these are things that you need to know when you're in trouble. Having said that, I want to point out to you tonight that there are two things, sort of two veins of thought, or two ways to apply this scripture, all right, in Psalm chapter 20. One way is very practical, and one way is doctrinal, or I would say prophetic in nature. All right, from a practical or a historical standpoint, David is talking about some trouble he's going through. And let me say it like this. Anybody that you know in the Bible that God used is someone that went through trouble. You will not find anybody that God used to any amount to of any great extent of service for God that did not go through trouble first. Job talks about going through trouble and how when he comes forth, he'll come forth like gold. The Bible says the trying of your faith is that of more precious than that of fine gold. Listen, God is allowing us to be tried right now. I believe to be a light to this world. You know what happens with gold when it's purified? It shines brighter. Do you know what ought to happen in a believer's life when they're going through trials? They ought to shine brighter. Listen, we are going to be tempted to fall apart right now. We're going to be tempted to look at the circumstances, look at what we cannot do. And I'm telling you, God has us here for a reason. David went through some struggles for a reason. In Psalm chapter 56, you might have to turn there, but David says, and I'll give this to all the kids that are in the room. Hey, listen, kids, when you go into a dark room and you're afraid, remember what the Bible says? What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. David says that. You say, why? Because David went through some trouble. And we're going to see that throughout the chapter, there's some things that are very practical and very close. Listen, if you study David's life, David has trouble from his wife. David has trouble from his father-in-law, from King Saul. David has trouble from his brethren when he goes to fight Goliath. David has trouble from the giant. David has trouble from the Amalekites. David has trouble from the Moabites. Everywhere David turns in his life for years at a time. Not months, not weeks, not days, years. David faces trouble. And David runs from King Saul when he did nothing wrong. You say, what is that? Just something that God uses. But let me give you this as well. This is what gets lost oftentimes when we're in the book of Psalms. And that is the doctrinal or prophetic nature of what's going on. And I want to try to give you some thoughts here. And one thought I want to start off with tonight is simply this. All right? A day can feel like a long time. Can I get an amen? I think I mentioned this on Sunday. I saw a meme that said this. This last week has been the longest year of my life. Right? All right? And I'll tell you what, if nothing else, 100 years from now, you know they're going to say the best memes came out during that lockdown, right? All right? So, all that said, what I want you to understand is there is a difference. All right? A day can feel like a long time. And that's our first point. All right? I'm going to give you four things. We may not get to all of them tonight, so let me give them to you real quickly. I know Miss Arlene is asking what the points are right now. She'd be raising her hand. So I'm going to do this for the benefit of all, but especially if Miss Arlene is watching. Point number one, a day can feel like a long time. All right? Point number two, help needs to come from the right direction. Your help needs to come from the right direction. Point number three, our trust must be placed in the right source. Our trust must be placed in the right source. Number four, our victory, this is the best part, our victory comes in the end. Our victory comes in the end. The problem is oftentimes many people quit before they get to experience the victory that God has for their lives. I do want to explain this much, though. There is a big, 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 like a chasm of difference between general trouble and general tribulation and the great tribulation. I'm not trying to be funny when I say this. But some people know differently than when you read the word baptism in your Bible, you should not automatically think water. And when you read the word water in your Bible, you should not automatically think baptism, right? All right, here's another one. When you read the word tribulation, it is not always a reference to the great tribulation, okay? Look at John chapter number 16. We got some references up here for you. John chapter number 16. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And let me just say this. Jesus gave this to his disciples. And they died within the first century of the church. Now, here we are. All right. We're going to look at a little bit of a chart. Here we are 2,000 years removed from that. And we still have not experienced the great tribulation. I'm going to go out and say this as well. If you're a born-again child of God, you will not be here for that. And if you're out there, you ought to be able to say amen to that. Because if you think this is hard, wait till you get into Revelation. chapter 5 and 6 and 7 and 8, yeah. and you start dealing with the seals and the trumpets and the vials and the judgments of God. Listen, that is going to be troublesome.
Yeah,
but there's a great difference between general trouble and general tribulation and the great tribulation. John 16, look if you would, at verse number 32. Love this verse. This is great. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. I quoted this on Sunday. I love this verse. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. We sing a song. No, never alone, no, never alone. All right? You say, why? Because we're not alone with the Lord in this world. But look at verse 33. These things have I written unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world, watch it, ye shall have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. I, Jesus Christ, I have overcome the world. Now, let me just say this much. He did not say that everyone's going to go through the great tribulation. Did you see how that word is used there? Sometimes the word tribulation is just in a general sense of trouble. All right? In the first century of the church, you had the desecration, the overturning, the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. All right? They come in there and they wipe it out. It's a great picture of what's going to happen in the end times when the Roman Empire is once again put together, all right, and the world turns against the nation of Israel, but it was not the substance of it. So it was a picture of it. So they went through a picture of the Great Tribulation, but it was just called tribulation. It's called trouble. All right? Look at Acts chapter number 14. Acts chapter number 14. Now, so far in America, it hasn't really cost you a lot to be saved and to follow the Lord and to profess to know to be a Christian. All right? For the most part, you might have some people that make fun of you, but that has been the extent of persecution. I know we're not going to be in the Great Tribulation, but I also think it's possible that we might go through some trouble in regards to persecution before the Lord comes back. Nobody wants to hear that. But let me just say it this way. Americans, and I'm one of you, I am one, and I'm thankful to be one, we tend to be a little self-centered. Some of us think, no, we can never go through that because that would be great, the Great Tribulation. Slow down a little bit. And back that truck up and remember this much. Your brethren in China and the Middle East are going through it right now. What makes you think we're better than them? Now, we're not going to be here for the Great Tribulation, but you're going to have trouble. Listen, you may get through life, and maybe the only trouble we ever experienced was this whole entire lockdown thing. This is the closest thing to real trouble we get through. Maybe your trouble is financial. Maybe your trouble is health. But you will not get through life without trouble. Right? But your trouble, for the most part, is not connected with being a believer. Now look at Acts 14. Acts 14, look at verse number 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples. This is talking about what Paul did as they went back through and discipled the believers. And exhorting them to continue in the faith. And that we must through much, watch it, tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. Not that we must go through the great tribulation. All right? Romans chapter 5. Go there real quickly. Romans chapter 5. And I'll stop after that. I just want you to understand that not every time the word tribulation, they say, oh, preacher, why are we looking at this in light of Psalms 20? Because what we're going to find out is doctrinally and prophetically, a lot of what we're reading about in Psalms and in Psalms chapter 20 has to do with the nation of Israel going through great tribulation. I'll show that to you before it's all said and done. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. And look with me, if you would, at verse number 2 or 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Anybody out there want to go, man, I just want to thank God that my job, it says I don't have work this week. I just want to thank God that my 401k is being hit by this. I want to glory. None of us naturally think that way, okay? However, you know what Paul says? We glory in tribulations. Now, why did he say that? He didn't say we glory in the great tribulation. We're not here for that. But we glory in tribulations. Here's why. Because we know that tribulation, work with patience, and patience experience, verse 4, and experience hope. And hope make not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Mm. Right? But here's general trouble. Now that's different. That's very different than what you're reading about in Psalm 20 from a doctrinal standpoint. Look at Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter number 24. You see what it is? This is midweek Bible study. All right? I want to give you some meat to chew on tonight. Matthew 24. Now, I want to give you this much. I was talking to a brother from church the other day, and I said something, and the way that it was heard was that I don't believe in the tribulation. I want to make it very clear. Well, I believe in it. I just don't believe that we're going to be here for the Great Tribulation as the church. Yeah. Amen. I believe in the Great Tribulation. Matter of fact, guys, most of your Old Testament is about, well, most of your Bible is about one nation and about how if they follow God, they'll be blessed by God with physical blessings and a physical piece of land with physical crops and physical rain falling on them and physical safety from the nation's fault. There goes stuff in my Bible. All right? No different than what happens at church. Amen. All right? And all this physical stuff. And then the church shows up and it becomes very spiritual in nature. That's the difference between the kingdom of heaven, physical, and the kingdom of God, spiritual. We just read it through much tribulation. We enter the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is within you, Luke chapter 19. It is not physical, it's not meat and drink, but righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost, Romans 14. Right? The idea is simply this, though. The nation of Israel, all right, is a unique nation. They are a peculiar nation, and God promised them certain things that are prophetic things that apply to them. So in Matthew 24, at the beginning of the chapter, the disciples ask in verse number 3 about the sign of the coming of Jesus Christ and the end of the world, right? It's the end of the world as we know it, because we don't have hand sanitizer and toilet paper and whatever else, all right? Listen, the real end of the world is marked with the things that you read about in Matthew 24. You say, what are they? They are things that line up with the great tribulation, which is what Psalms chapter 20 in large part is about. Now, if you, I don't have time to read all of it, but if you read verse 12, look at verse 12 in your Bibles. Love of many shall wax cold. Social distancing. Amen. All right. Verse 13, he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Listen, if you believe you're going through the tribulation, then you believe in salvation by works. Yeah. Because you've got to endure unto the end. Let me tell you something, guys. The end there, in context, is not the end of your life. It is the end of a period of time connected with the end of the world. And you know how you know it's not just loosely your life? Look down at verse 21. For then shall be, underline it, highlight it, notice it, great tribulation. Great tribulation. Right? Not just tribulation, great tribulation. And that is a period of time in which, if you read verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom is preached. You don't preach that today. You preach the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Verse 15, the abomination of desolation, the image of the Antichrist is placed in the holy place. Guys, that cannot be right now. There is no holy place in Jerusalem. That's going to have to be a temple that's rebuilt during the Great Tribulation. All right? Look at verse 16. Then let them which be in Judea. Are you in Judea? This is not aimed at you. Flee into the mountains. All right? Look at verse number 20. Pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Again, then we see who this is aimed at. Verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. You know what that means? We isn't there yet. Amen? We're not there yet, right? Listen, if you're looking for the great tribulation to happen right now, by the way, you're looking for the wrong thing. The Bible says if you're a believer, you're going to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious, glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You're going to be looking for Jesus to come back. The last thing you're told to do is to look for him, not to look for the Antichrist and not to look for the great tribulation. Right? Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Right? So there's a difference between general trouble and the trials that we're experiencing right now versus going through the great tribulation. Right? Revelation chapter 2. Normally I would ask the church, am I making sense? I'll ask you, maybe you can comment online, right? Revelation chapter number 2, and look at verse number 22, talking about spiritual Jezebel. If you're not familiar with it, it's connected with the Roman Catholic Church. You read about that in Revelation chapter number 17 and 18, the city that sits on seven mountains, all right? That's Rome, and all the things associated with that, all right? And Jezebel, as you know from the Old Testament, was a wicked woman that lined up Israel, God's people, with spiritual fornication, with idolatry, right? So there's a religious system that is likened to a woman that tries to allure God's people into something that they have no business being into, all right? And that's what's going on here in Revelation 2. But look at verse number 22. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into what? Great tribulation. Great tribulation. Again, vastly different than the general trials and troubles that we face and that we're even facing right now. If I could give you any piece of consolation right now, you know what I would give you? Thank God that we do not go through the great tribulation.
Amen.
I know I've referenced this before, and I'm not trying to make light of our trouble. We are experiencing trouble. Some of us have never been through anything like this before. Anyone that remembers the Great Depression, and there's just a few of those folks around that remember that are left anymore. But you know what they would tell us? This ain't nothing. We didn't have running water, and we didn't have food. All right? Again, looking back and also just looking into the future of what the Bible talks about in the Great Tribulation, guys, thank God we don't go through that. Having said that, my first point tonight, PowerPoint slide number 2, all right? My first point tonight is that a day can feel like a long time. And it says in the day of trouble, read it in Psalm chapter 20, verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. And aren't you glad that when you call the Lord, there's never a busy signal? Aren't you glad when you pick the phone, by the way, this is not my phone, I do not have a pink case, I'll make it very clear, all right? But aren't you glad when you call the Lord, all right, that he listens? The Bible says, call on me and I will answer thee. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Now, that day particularly, we're talking about prophecy right now, or the doctrinal application, right, is called the day of the Lord in your Bible. And I want to show you tonight there's a difference between the day of the Lord and the day of the Lord Jesus, or the day of Christ. If you can get this down, you will be very clear on the fact that the rapture and the second coming of Jesus Christ are two very separate things. You'll be very clear on the fact that the rapture happens before the Great Tribulation, and the second coming happens at the end. All right? The day of the Lord, I'm going to have you go through some scripture. I'm going to have you go to all of it up here for those who can't read it. If you'd like to write these references down, I have Isaiah chapter number 2, verse 12. I have Isaiah 13, verses 6 through 9. Isaiah chapter 34, verse 8. I'm writing it down. Jeremiah chapter 46, verse 10. Rest in peace, all those. Okay, good. Joel chapter number 1, verse 15. Joel chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Zephaniah chapter number 2, verse number 3. All of those references have to do with the day of the Lord. And you know what they, by and large, have to do with? The great tribulation for the nation of Israel and the second coming of Jesus Christ. But he calls it the day. Can I say it again one more time? One day can feel like a long time. Right? Now, we know the Great Tribulation is 42 months, according to the book of Revelation, according to Daniel. All right, we know that there are 42 chapters in the book of Job. All right, that's 3.5 years. 42 chapters in Job, because Job's a great picture of Israel going through the Great Tribulation. On the other side of it, his life is restored. Can I give you some practical hope from the doctrinal and prophetic stuff? Listen, if you just hang with stuff long enough, listen, if you just hang through kindergarten and first and second and third grade, and then you become a senior, then you get to graduate, right? And that part of your great tribulation is over. And then the next part of your great tribulation starts, right? Called paying bills and living on your own. But you understand what I'm talking about? If you can just hang with it long enough and get through the thing, right? You'll be blessed for it on the other side, right? But the day of the Lord is given all these references here, talk about the day of the Lord. So let's go to Isaiah chapter number 2. Isaiah chapter number 2. And this is how you learn the Bible, by the way. When you say in the day of trouble, what is that day? Well, what's the day of the Lord? We're going to see that. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. And if you can learn this, it'll make the Bible come alive for you. The reason why there's so much bad expository teaching or lack thereof is because everyone reads the Bible as if it was written to the New Testament Christian. I have said this before, I want to say it again. All of the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, is for you. But not all the Bible is to you. Amen? Isaiah chapter number 2, look if you would at verse number 12. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Verse 18, the idols he shall utterly abolish. You say, what is that? Look at verse 19. They shall go in the holes of the rocks and in the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. When he ariseth, he gets off his throne to shake terribly the earth. You say, what is that? Great tribulation and the second coming of Jesus Christ. All right, look at Isaiah chapter number 13. Isaiah chapter 13. Now, folks, I got to tell you, I do not have a clock in this room. That's dangerous. Isaiah chapter 13. All right? I'm going to rely on one of my very punctual children to help me with this. Isaiah chapter number 13. Isaiah, you know, some of your kids are real artistic and music-y, and look, there's a butterfly. And then some keep you on schedule, okay? And so you can figure out who is who if you know my kids. Isaiah 13, verse number 6. How, like a wolf, how ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. When they shall say peace and safety, 1 Thessalonians 5, sudden destruction cometh upon them. Not you as a New Testament Christian, on the world. All right? Let's see here, verse number 7. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. They shall be afraid. Look at verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land. The land. Pay attention to that. To lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven, the constellations, verse 10, thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not give her light, cause her light to shine. You see, what is that? Joel chapter number 2. Great tribulation. And at the end of it, the Lord shows up. Second coming. All right? Look, if you would, at, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 46. Jeremiah 46. Don't look at all of these, just a few. I hope this is making sense. In the day of trouble, for a believer today, that can apply to anything in your life when you're in trouble and you need God to hear you. But from a prophetic standpoint, what David is talking about is not just any day at all, but rather a particular day where the nation of Israel goes through a time of trouble, and we're going to see this in a little bit. It is not the time of the church's trouble. It's the time of Israel's trouble. Look at Jeremiah 46. Jeremiah 46, verse number 10. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts. Day of the Lord, the day of trouble. All right? And he says, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiated and made drunk with their blood. For the, you say, what is that? That's Revelation, where he treads out the grapes and the fierceness of his wrath is tread out there at the Battle of Armageddon. And the blood comes up to the horses' bridles, as you read about in prophecy. You say, what is that? I'll tell you what that is. That's the second advent, not the rapture. That's called the day of the Lord. All right, let's go to one other place, and I want to show you something in particular. Look at two more places. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Now, I asked everybody one time, say, how do you learn all that Bible? How do you get to know that? Let me say it like this. It's reading it over and over and over and over. And I'm well convinced that some Christians, if you cannot give them an answer in 30 seconds or less, basically the time in which you could post something on Twitter, then they don't want it. guys, I'm telling you, that's what allows us to study the Word of God, to study the Scriptures, all right? Look at Joel chapter 2 and verse number 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Why? There's a battle coming. Armageddon. And sound an alarm in my holy mountain, Zion. You read about that in Psalm 20. And let all the inhabitants of the earth, of the land, tremble. Why? For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. I'll tell you this much. I am thankful that we've at least had some really nice sunshine lately. Amen? And by the way, it's okay to go outside and walk. That's still a good thing to do. A great people and a strong deer have not been ever the like, neither shall be anyone after, even in the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them. Now, what he goes on to describe in the next few verses is you, if you're saved, at the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is an army that literally cannot be destroyed. You ever watch sci-fi movies, you know, and you shoot someone and they just, it doesn't do anything then? Well, the Bible says the sword will pierce them and they're going to keep on going. That is you when you come back with Jesus Christ and he's on a white horse, Revelation chapter number 19. You say, what is it called? It's called the day of the Lord. A day can be a long time. Some of the things you're reading that we have read so far cover at least 3.5 years, and it's culminated when Jesus comes back to at the Battle of Armageddon. You see, what am I saying? A day can feel like a long time. Here we are as the church. The rapture is the next major event. There's the tribulation, 3.5 years of great tribulation, second coming of Jesus Christ. Then there's 1,000 years, and I'm going to show you just here in a little bit that there's an event way over here at the end of all of this that is like, that is associated with the phrase, the day of the Lord. I'm going to say it again. A day can feel like a long time. All right? You ever had one of those days? It just doesn't end. The kids aren't listening, and you're sick, and you're tired, and you're weary, and you can't take them to the playground anymore, right? You can't do that now. Is it tomorrow morning? Whatever it might be. I have a feeling we're getting real creative of things we can do with our children. Now that playgrounds and bouncy houses and places like that are closed. But you ever had those days? I'm serious. Everything's wrong at work. Everything's wrong, seems like, in your marriage. Things are wrong with your kids. Just things just aren't lining up. Can I just say this much? If you pour your heart out to God, He'll hear you. I want you to get that practically. And from a prophetic standpoint, the day of the Lord is a long time because it covers everything basically from here all the way out here. I'm going to show that to you here in just a moment. But look at Zephaniah, almost to the end of your Old Testament, Zephaniah chapter number 2. And I think what I'm probably going to do tonight is to simply get through point number 1. That's okay. Right? There's a lot of smiling going on in the room right now. There are probably smiles online. And for those of you that are smiling, you know what? I see those smiles, right? The eyes of the Lord are never put in. No, I'm just kidding. Zephaniah, right? Chapter number 2. Zephaniah chapter 2. And look at me, if you would, at verse number 3. Now, I want you to notice something. Really, really interesting, right? Now, I'm sorry, look at verse number, Zephaniah 2, verse number 2. Before the decree bring forth, before, look at this, the day, underline, the day pass as the chaff. You say, what is that? Well, over there in Matthew chapter number 3, you know what the Bible says? That the Lord would baptize, John says, I baptize you with water, but he that cometh after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost, and with fire. And he talks about the chaff being burned with unquenchable fire. You see, what is that? Second Advent. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1 talks about being destroyed by the Lord, the Antichrist being consumed with the spirit of his mouth, and fire going out of him, right? Destroying his enemies. All right, look at Zephaniah chapter 2, all right? Verse number 2, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, watch it, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Let me ask you this. Is you the New Testament Christian? Absolutely not. We're not even there yet. He's talking to the nation of Israel. All right? Look, if you would, at verse 3. Seek ye the Lord. You know what you have to do right now when you're in trouble? Seek him. You know, I'm going to say this right now, and I don't mean this to hurt anybody's feelings, but I have a feeling some of you that are watching this, you've prayed more in the last week about stuff that we haven't prayed about in a long time. We pray, God, let me find toilet paper. God, let me find meat. I mentioned toilet paper, not back in the boys' group. All right? Let me find meat. Let me find some produce. You know, when everything first started getting crazy, there was no produce. Let me find food. Let me find milk. Let me find eggs. All right? I pray that every morning when I go to the chicken coop, Lord, let me find some eggs. All right? But here's the point. You've been praying about some stuff. You know why? Same reason why they're going to cry out to God. Seek ye the Lord. Now I want you to watch something, though. Look at verse 3. All ye underline it. Meek of the earth. Huh. I feel like I read somewhere in the New Testament where Jesus is talking about the constitution of the kingdom of heaven, where he establishes his reign on the earth, which we're not experiencing yet. Because if he was in charge right now, he'd have a lot of explaining to do. Amen? All right? When he shows up, things are not going to be like they are right now. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, the Bible says that the meek shall inherit the earth. You read that in Psalms 37, word for word, exactly the same. You say, what is that? That's not right now. The meek don't inherit the earth right now. You know who's inheriting the earth? You know who's consolidating power and consolidating finance and consolidating resources? Large entities that are all going to eventually feed into the one world government, the Antichrist. You see, that's crazy talk. No, that's Bible talk is what that is. All right? Having said that, the meek are not here and there now. But someday, when Jesus comes back, they will. You say, what's that connected with? Oh, it's something called the day of the Lord. You see that? All right? If you want the reference in Psalm 37, it's Psalm 37, verse 11. All right? Now, that's different. That is the day of the Lord. Can I give you one more? And then we'll talk about the day of the Lord Jesus and the day of Christ. All right? The day of the Lord, look at 2 Peter chapter number 3. Go all the way towards the end of your Bible. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, all right? 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, Revelation. I always thought it was a pretty mean thing that God did that to us. He gives you John, and then you know, he gives you a 1 John, and you're like, wait a minute, that's not 1 John. 1 John's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then God goes, no, that's just the Gospel of John. Here's 1 John, all right? All right? 2 Peter chapter number 3, and the reason why, by the way, on a serious note, that it's called 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Those are letters that John wrote specifically to certain people as letters to them, whereas the Gospel of John is written, and we know from John 20, verse 31, that we may believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God. All right? 2 Peter chapter 3, look if you would at verse number 9. The Lord is not, well, look at verse number 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day, with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. I believe that we are in that sixth day, somewhere. And pretty soon we're going to be approaching that seventh day of rest, that 1,000 years of rest. All right? But look at verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. And aren't you glad for that? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord, watch it, will come as a thief in the night. Now, you are told, you know what I'm telling you guys? You have to pay attention to the wording in your Bible. First thing I want to point out, look at what it says here. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. You know what's going to happen? After the rapture of the church, after the great tribulation, Matthew 24, Daniel chapter 12, after Jesus comes back, Revelation 19, after he sets up his 1,000-year reign, Revelation chapter 20, you know what happens at the end of all that? God says, okay, we're done. Let's have one final judgment, Revelation 20, 11 through 15. And in chapter 20 of Revelation, you know what you read about? A new heaven and a new earth. And you know what he calls that? The day of the Lord. So the day of the Lord stretches from here all the way clear out over here, right before eternity starts. That's a long day. That's a long day. What am I getting at? A day can feel like a long time. Now, can I point something out to you as well? If you just happen to think, maybe you've been taught this, or maybe you were of this persuasion, all right? The thief in the night has to do with the church being prepared for Jesus to come back. Can I say that has nothing to do with what it is? And I, can I prove that to you? Okay, he mentions the day of the Lord coming as a thief in the night. Look, if you would, at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And if you've been around our church for any amount of time, you've been through this before. But with all the teaching out there about prophecy, it bears repeating again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look, if you would, at verse number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "But the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." Now, that phrase, times and seasons, if you're a student of the Bible, you relate that back to Acts chapter 1, and you'll figure out what that's talking about. All right, look at verse 2. "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Day of the Lord, watch it, right here. Now, let me ask you a question. In any of those references that we just read, did the day of the Lord have to do with the rapture of the church? Or did it have to do with the second coming? Every single time. It had to do with the tribulation and the second coming of Jesus Christ. It does not have to do with you and me as part of the church today. Alright? Notice what it says. Verse 3. "For when they shall say," not us, "when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them." I've got news for you. If you're here for the Great Tribulation, and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you understand that you will suffer along with the rest of the world. If nothing else, you will suffer because you refuse to take the mark of the beast. All right? But let me tell you something. Listen, this is being written to Christians. 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul's writing that to New Testament Christians in the first century, and this applies to us today. He says, the thief in the night is for them. They won't be ready. This is not a reference to you. Matter of fact, you are ready because of chapter 4. Look at chapter 4. Look at the end of the chapter. The reason that you're ready is because you're taken out of here before the thief of the night comes. And oh, by the way, ladies out there, do you know any grooms that show up at an unmentioned time that will sweep you away for your wedding day? You've got sacred dates. You're planning the hair. You're planning the dress. You're planning eventually I'll probably have some young ladies be doing that, you know, and they're going to plan everything out. That man is not going to sweep them away when they least expect it to get married. Right? So this is not directed at you. I cannot express it enough. The day of the Lord coming as a thief in the night is the world not being prepared for him. Look at Matthew chapter 24, though. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 42. Matthew 24 and verse number 42. You like that drum? You like that? Yeah? Matthew 24, the other day, I heard one of my boys say, "Daddy's a good preacher. So if nobody else in the church believes it, I've got one. I've got one." Right?
Amen.
Matthew 24, look at verse number 42. "Watch therefore, for ye..." Now, let me ask you a question. You're a New Testament Christian, right? And you got saved because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And without the death of the testament, there could be no testament. So you're a New Testament Christian because you are after the cross. Your salvation comes after the cross. So let me ask you a question. All the Bible's for you, but not all the Bible's to you. Is this to you? The answer clearly is no. Because he says earlier on in the passage, we read about Great Tribulation and fleeing from Judea and all the stuff about the Sabbath. This is to Jews and the nation of Israel. I'll prove it to you here again one more time. Look at verse number 42. "For ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man coming." That is not directed at you. It's directed at Jews that go through the Great Tribulation because their Jewish disciples ask him, what is the sign of his coming and what is the sign of the end of the world? And he gives them all the stuff that pertains to Israel. All right? So you say, what is it? I'm trying to show you that the day of the Lord is different than the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, go back to Psalm 20. Can I show you something there? Psalm chapter 20. tomorrow. Psalm chapter number 20. Thank you. Psalm chapter number 20. And can I point out a couple of things? Look, if you would, at verse number 1. The God of Jacob. Who's the God of Jacob? Well, that's it. That's our God as well. Who's Jacob? That's Israel. The God of Jacob. Thank you very much. All right, look, if you would, at verse number 2. All right, he mentions, in verse number 2, he mentions Zion and his sanctuary. Look at verse number 3. These are offerings, physical offerings and burnt sacrifices. Guys, can I say this? You're not bringing any burnt sacrifices to God today. We offer up spiritual sacrifices, as is mentioned in Peter. All right? So who is it? This is Israel going through great trouble, and they're going to have a restored temple in the tribulation. All right, look, if you would, at verse number 5. We shall, look at this, we shall rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God will we set up banners. Guys, let me just say like this. I can practically apply this to us as the church. I can say as the church, we can trust in our God. We will set up our banners. But in regards to what's going on doctrinally and prophetically, this is Israel. And they're saying, we will trust in the God of Jacob. All right? Look at verses 5, 7, and 9 in your Bible. We and us. We and us. Look at verse number 8. Can I show you this? In verse number 8, just like you read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them. So look at verse number 8. They are brought down and fallen. But we, who? Israel, at the end of the great tribulation, he comes back. We are risen and stand upright. All right? Now, I can apply this to us today in a practical sense. And I can say when the world is losing their ever-loving mind, and they are right now, we ought to stand upright, and we ought to have the light, and we ought to have the hope, and we ought to present something to them that is better than what they can see and feel and smell and taste and hold on to in this life.
Amen.
You've got it in that book. You've got it in the hope that is within you, the person of Jesus Christ. I can apply it practically that way, and you ought to. But from a doctrinal standpoint, it is very clear. Look at Jeremiah chapter number 30. It is very clear this is not the time of the church's trouble. Jeremiah chapter 30. This is rather the time of Israel's trouble. I'll never forget years ago, somebody was a little bit twisted up on their understanding of prophecy. And primarily because, I don't know how to say it, they just had never read their Bible. And they assumed everything they watched on YouTube. And by the way, check what I'm saying. I have no problem with that at all. But they assumed that because they watched a video by someone that's a very convincing speaker, had good music and nice lighting and nice sounds and basically everything that I may not have at the moment, all right? Because they herald that what they were saying about prophecy was right. And it wasn't, all right? Christian, I'll say it again. You are not going to be caught off guard as a thief in the night. That is taken care of in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're taken out of here. Chapter 5 switches gears. You know that because the first word in chapter 5 is but. All right? But the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. All right? So all that said, so look at Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. And look, if you would, at verse number 4. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. Is that you? No. All right, but if you would, at verse number 5. We have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, not of peace. Look at verse number 6. It talks about a man travailing as with child. Boy, that is that. When a man goes, I mean, guys, we're babies, right? Can you imagine if it was up to us to have babies? There would be no human race. Amen? Thank God for moms. But he's giving an illustration of, man, when it looks like a guy's giving birth, that is painful. He's describing the pain and the anguish that is going to be on the earth during the time of the Great Tribulation. Now look, if you would, at verse 7. Underline it, highlight it, etch it into your mind to never be forgotten. Alas, for that day, it can be a long time, that day is great, so that none is like it. And I want you to read the rest of the verse. It is even the time of, not the church's trouble, Jacob's. That's the nation of Israel. Israel and Judah, earlier in the chapter. But he shall be saved out of it. Now that being saved out of it, the word saved, doesn't always mean what you're thinking. All right? Over there in Romans chapter 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? All right? But that is a quote that Paul takes from Joel 2, where it says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Sometimes salvation is physical in nature. Jesus coming back to fight the armies of the Antichrist and to relieve Israel as they are surrounded there, as is mentioned in Matthew 24 and in Matthew 25, versus your New Testament salvation by grace through faith. It says, he shall be saved out of it. You say, where is that found? Romans chapter number 11, when it talks about Israel as a nation. Here's why I'm saying all of this. One more time. Day of the Lord associated with this. Tribulation. Second coming. You're not on the earth for that. Day of the Lord Jesus and Day of Christ associated with the rapture of the church and the judgment seat of Christ. Let's watch it. Let's look at it real quickly. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter... Actually, go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 14. A day can be like a day can feel like a long time. Now, when he talks about the day of the Lord Jesus and the day of Christ, it also does encompass a few different things. All right? It encompasses the rapture, but it also encompasses the judgment seat of Christ, which is talked about in 1 Corinthians 3 and in 2 Corinthians 5 and in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and so on and so forth. That judgment seat of Christ is where you are judged for the things done in your body, whether they be good, since the day you were saved. If you are judged by the opportunities you have to serve God and judge not just with what you do with Him, but why you did what you did, all right? Now, that's going on up in heaven, judgment seat of Christ, while the tribulation is going on down here. All right, so the day of the Lord, Jesus, and the day of Christ also is a little bit more than just a day. But you're dealing with God, who with Him one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So He can call it a day if He wants to. All right, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, all right, and verse number 14. The Bible says, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, I don't know if you understand what that's talking about, but over in 1 Thessalonians, he talks about how the Thessalonian Christians were the crown of rejoicing for Paul. In other words, that's one of the crowns you can win. If you ever lead someone to Christ, you gain a crown. You gain the crown of rejoicing for leading others to Christ. There is no greater joy than leading someone to Christ. I'm going to tell you that right now. Amen. It is awesome. I've had the privilege of doing that just here in the last few weeks and months, and there's nothing quite like it. It is great. Right? So what Paul is talking about is, at the judgment seat of Christ, while the tribulation goes on the earth, we are up there receiving the things done in our body, whether they be good or bad. And at that judgment, all right, those who are born again, those who believe in Christ, they are our crown of rejoicing. See what he says? You're our rejoicing in the day of the Lord Jesus. Right? Watch it one more time. Look at Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. All right, are you seeing the difference, though? One has to do with you getting taken out of here and receiving the things, receiving the rewards of your inheritance, mm-hmm. whereas the other, the day of the Lord, has to do with the tribulation and God exacting vengeance on the earth. You say, well, why is it called the day of the Lord? And then it's similar, it's called the day of the Lord Jesus. Because, here's why. This is where Jesus gets his bride, and this is where Jesus gets his kingdom. So there's going to be a connection. The wedding happens, and then he comes back and goes, okay, let's restore order to the earth, and we are brought back with him to do just that. All right? What did I tell you to go? I told you Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians, I'm glad someone paid attention. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 16. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 16. Holding forth the word of life. This is it right here. You've got it in your hands.
Amen.
If you don't have toilet paper, right, and you don't have the favorite snack that you always wanted, and you don't have the playground for the kids, and certain things you just like to have, You know, you still got this book. Holding forth the word of life. Hold it out. Let others see it. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know, he says he wants to rejoice in the day of Christ. He's not talking about rejoicing during great tribulation. He never references that. He's talking about rejoicing in the day of Christ, and that day is connected with the rapture and the judgment of Christ. Let's see it one more time. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together in Him. You see, what is that? Rapture. All right, look, if you would, at verse 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Why? Neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. You're supposed to be looking for it as if it can happen tomorrow. I wouldn't mind a bit. Anybody else want to say amen there?
Amen.
That'd be awesome. That'd be great. It'd be wonderful. All right? The day of Christ is at hand. He can come at any moment. Listen, that cannot be said about the day of the Lord. The reason it cannot be said about the day of the Lord is simply this. Listen, there are some things that have to happen before that can take place. Guys, at this point in time, when Paul wrote this to the Thessalonian Christians, he was saying already that the day of the Lord Jesus, or the day of Christ, this one right here, connected with the rapture, is at hand. That's different than this one over here. Because this one comes at the end of the Great Tribulation. Right? We don't know when the end of the church will be. We know by the signs given in Matthew 24 and 25 what the signs of the Great Tribulation are. That's different than the end of the church is. Right? So what I'm getting at is simply this, guys. Day of the Lord Jesus, day of Christ, those phrases, those terms, those are different than the day of the Lord. They're both reminding us of one truth. A day can feel like a really, really long time. I think for any mom who's ever given birth, amen? A day can feel, I don't know why I looked at you. You're just the one that caused the pain on the mom that gave the birth. But anyways, all right, one day can feel like a long time. I hope you can see the difference, though, between the day of the Lord and the day of the Lord Jesus and the day of Christ. I hope you can see the difference between the rapture and the second coming based on all the scripture that we looked at tonight. I want you to be clear, guys. Let me go back to Psalms chapter number 20. Psalms chapter number 20. Psalm chapter number 20. And notice what he's talking about is the Lord hearing them, the nation of Israel, in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob, defend thee, the nation of Israel. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings, and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Now, I'm not telling you about all of this, but we studied this before. That phrase, Selah, is connected with a place called Selah Petra. It is a rock city where the nation of Israel goes and finds refuge in the day of their trouble, when they flee from the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 12 completes and fulfills what Jesus talks about in Matthew 24. Again, I'm stressing again, aimed at Israel prophetically, not us. Right? Having said that, let's keep reading. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Verse 6. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. I want to close with this thought. Right? That anointed there applies to three different groups of people in the scriptures, by the way. That anointed can refer to David because he is the king there, historically. It can refer to Jesus Christ because he is the Christ, the anointed one of God. He's called the Lord's Christ over in the Gospel of Luke. But it also relates to the nation of Israel as his anointed people. Right? But I want to close with this thought. Between verses 5 and 6, I want you to know in verse 6, he ends in a very confident state. Now I know. After you're married for a few years, you understand what marriage is about. Right? Now I know. Before you're married, you think it's about Hallmark movies if you're a girl. And if you're a guy, you got to go to Kiss. Okay? All right? And so, but after you're married, now I know. All right? When you first get involved in ministry, you go, man, ministry's all about leading people to Christ, and they're all going to love me because I did that. And then you realize ministry is more than that. And people have a lot of issues. You got to be patient with them and loving with them and compassionate with them and empathetic with them and take your time with them, and the list goes on. Now I know. Right? You go through school. Man, day one, you're excited. Remember the first day of school when I was a kid, it was get your trapper keeper, you know, and if you're like a young person, you have no idea. My daughter's like, what is a trapper keeper? Look it up on Google. All right? If you're a girl back in the 90s, your Lisa Frank pencils, right? Your backpacks and all that, your notebooks, you're excited about school. By a few weeks into it, you're like, now I know what school is all about. David says this, now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. But I want to point out one thing. I'll close with this thought. In verse number 5, can I point out that there's rejoicing before you even know? You know what we want to do? I'll rejoice when this is over. Nope. How about you rejoice before it's over? And when you get to the end, you say, how can I rejoice? We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Now I know. You know, Job, at the end of his life, he could look back and go, ah, now I get it. Joseph, at the end of his life, could go, man, those years I wondered what God was doing. David, at the end, could say, now I get it. And can I go one step further? We all know that Jesus was God in the flesh. God manifest in the flesh, but never lose sight of the fact that Jesus was also not just 100% God, but 100% man. Do you know at the end of all that he experienced, he could also say, now I know. You see, everything he did up to that point was by faith. He believed the Father in spite of betrayal, in spite of desertion, in spite of mockery, in spite of being left alone, in spite of God the Father turning his back on his only Son, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At the end of all that, he could say, now I know. That's what the Bible says. Looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he wasn't there yet, but you know what he did? He said, man, I can't wait for that. So you know what we do right now? We will rejoice. Not when I get what I want, not when it's all over. We will rejoice now. You know what I'm trying to get you to understand? Rejoicing should come before you can even say, now I know. That's how he laid it out in the chapter. In verse 5, we will rejoice. In verse 6, now I know. Brethren, church family, says, I hope that tonight's Bible study is going to help you both doctrinally and practically. I hope somewhere God was able to use it to stir your hearts, stir your minds, get your minds on things above and not just on things of the earth. I want to encourage you to remember what David experiences and what David says and how he concludes with, I know. Tonight, a day can feel like a long time. The next few weeks might feel like a really long time. But you know what we should be able to say? We will rejoice. Let's pray. Father, tonight we thank you so much, Lord, for our health, for our lives, for the shelter you've given us, Lord, the opportunity to do what we're doing right now. Lord, some of our brethren around the world do what we're doing right now, but they would never be able to post it online. Lord, they do it in the dark of night because they don't want to be caught. Lord, what we're going through is temporary. Help us keep all this in mind. God, I pray, I want so desperately to shake all the hands and give all the hugs and just to physically be with my church family again. I miss them. Lord, we can't do that right now, but Lord, we will rejoice. Lord, we love you tonight. We ask for your grace. We ask for your power. We ask for your strength. We ask all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Good?